Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Late last year, the advocacy group North Carolinians Against Gun Violence released a new and sobering but vitally important report entitled Safe North Carolina 2020. It documented and reiterated the widely acknowledged truth that firearm violence in North Carolina is a public health epidemic. The report documents the situation with a wellspring of data on homicides, suicides, accidental shootings, mass shootings, and breaks the numbers down in a host of instructive ways, including by race, age, and geography. Its central conclusion, however, is simple and straightforward, and it goes like this, quote, "Simply put, no other high-income country in the world allows its citizens to die by guns the way we do in the United States." And recently I sat down with one of the experts behind the report, North Carolinians Against Gun Violence community organizer, Sarah Smith.
Well, Sarah Smith, welcome to News and Views. It sure is good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Obviously, the subject of your report, Safe North Carolina, is about the plague of gun violence that is besieging North Carolina and the United States these days. United States and North Carolina both continue to just outpace the rest of the world, or certainly the advanced world, when it comes to this terrible problem. Talk to us about the report. What are some of the main findings?
Yes. Well, firearms deaths and injuries in North Carolina are a clear and preventable public health crisis, and one that won't go away without investment in program and policy solutions. In 2018, the last year for which we have CDC data, we lost 1,416 North Carolinians to firearm violence. That means that every day that year, almost 4 North Carolinians lost their lives to guns, or 1 North Carolinian every 6 hours died of a completely preventable cause.
Wow, that's a really horrific number. And you, of course, mentioned, you know, it was sort of hidden in there, you mentioned CDC, which is, of course, the Centers for Disease Control. This is a public health crisis, right? This is akin to an epidemic that we confront.
Absolutely. The different kinds of gun violence that we're seeing in the state constitute a huge public health crisis. The biggest by number is firearm suicide. Mm. Firearm suicide is a huge and increasing problem in our state. Firearms are the most lethal method of suicide. Research shows that 90% of firearm suicide attempts result in death. In North Carolina, in 2018, that last year for which we have data, 873 people died in North Carolina by firearm suicide. And firearm suicides made up 62% of all gun deaths. So a lot of people. And suicides are showing no sign of slowing down. The rate in the 11-year period that we looked at increased 12%, and the number of gun suicides increased 30%. When we look at the numbers of firearms deaths, in general, larger counties have more firearm death. Based on the data from the Injury and Violence Prevention Branch of the North Carolina Division of Public Health that we looked at, Mecklenburg County had the highest number of firearm deaths overall in the 3-year period, 2016 and 2018, and the highest number of firearm homicides and suicides. But size alone doesn't determine a county's rank on the list of counties suffering the most deaths. Guilford County ranked second in number of gun homicides in the same period, while Wake County was seventh.
We should point out that this report is, gosh, it goes on for 47 pages. It's chock full of data. Very specific county-level data. This isn't just a big-picture overview. You've got a lot of really impressive and powerful numbers at the local level.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I'm so grateful to our partners at the Injury and Violence Prevention Branch of the Division of Public Health that have collaborated with us in providing the numbers for the county level. Mm-hmm. It's really helpful. It was helpful to us to see where the epidemic was occurring, and we really hope that it's helpful to program planners and local health departments and lawmakers as well to see where this violence is occurring.
And maybe just average citizens to see what's happening to their neighbors. We talked about suicide being a big part of this, and I think there's an intuitive sense amongst a lot of people right now that times are tough in a lot of parts of the state and the nation, even before the pandemic hit. And these numbers predate the pandemic, so it seems probably unfortunately, a safe assumption that things probably didn't get much better in 2020 and probably got worse.
Yes. So homicide and suicide data, particularly suicide data, lag a bit from the time when they happen to the time when they're reported, but there are hints of what's happening. If we look at data published by police or by local media, and we're seeing in cities around the state reports of an increase in shootings or in homicides. And even prior to the pandemic beginning, Charlotte and Mecklenburg County almost doubled the number of homicides, and I believe that's any method, but doubled the number of homicides compared in 2019 compared to 2018. I think there were around 108 homicides last year, and the last media that I looked at showed an increase this year compared to the same time last year. So, you know, it's something we're really going to have to continue to look at and be very mindful of, you know, while we continue to pay attention to the devastating toll that the pandemic is having in North Carolina. We cannot take our eyes off what's happening in the gun violence epidemic in the state.
We're talking with Sarah Smith, who's a statewide community organizer for North Carolinians Against Gun Violence, about her new report that details the scourge of gun violence in our state. I want to talk about solutions, but before that, there are a couple other factoids in the report that I think are important to emphasize. And one of those is, and you briefly alluded to it, is the issue of youth suicide. The fact that we have a lot of young people, children really, who are taking their lives these days with guns. And one presumes that in many of those cases, if not all, most or not close to all, that these kids are not using guns that they own themselves legally. They're obviously accessing guns perhaps that are not properly stored, that have been made available to children illegally. I gather that's a huge part of the problem.
Yes. So we absolutely recommend that parents, as well as really the population at large, safely store their firearms, because kids are not only in their own homes, but they're in their relatives' homes, they're in neighborhood homes, and you're right, the kids are using weapons that are not their own, typically, to end their lives. And the number of gun suicides in the period that we looked at among kids and youth doubled in that period, and the rate went up 91%. So it's a huge problem that's, you know, that's really a crisis and can definitely be prevented by firearm storage.
You also alluded to sort of some geographic issues, but I gather there are also demographic issues that reflect on different populations in terms of race and ethnicity. Are there some salient numbers there that sort of stand out?
Yes, for sure. By far, suicide is highest and increasing most steeply among males and among white North Carolinians. It remains relatively stable among women and other racial and ethnic groups compared to those groups that I mentioned. For homicides, Black North Carolinians consistently suffer the most firearm homicide deaths compared to any other racial or ethnic group in the state. So while Black non-Hispanic North Carolinians comprised 22% of the 2018 North Carolina population, they experienced 328 firearm homicides, or 67% of the gun homicides that year. It's a crisis, and we really need to address it. If we look at rates, Black and Native North Carolinians suffer very high and relatively similar rates during the 11-year period of CDC data that we looked at. The rates among Native North Carolinians was something I was not expecting, and which was really different from the national trend for Native Americans. As a community, this group is suffering more from firearm homicide in our state than Native Americans are nationally. One area for optimism for me in the report was the steep decline in both rate and in number of annual gun homicides among Hispanic, Latino, or Latinx people in the state. This group had 58 gun homicides in 2008 and only 18 in 2018, and the rate declined similarly.
we'll hold on to that and hope that that's a trend that's sticking around. Before I let you go, it's obviously important for us to talk about solutions and things that we can do, public policies we can adopt and pursue. It's clear, you know, there's a lot of hysteria about gun regulation, but it's clear that North Carolinians Against Gun Violence, you all speak quite candidly about the need for safe gun storage. So it's obviously an organization that's not trying to get rid of everybody's gun. We understand that firearms will be a part of American life, but there are many things we could do to make firearms safer, to prevent these easily preventable deaths, particularly the suicides. Talk to us about some of the policy solutions that you think need to be explored in 2021.
I think that this is an area for optimism, because the good news is that research and evaluation nationally is expanding on successful programs. America really wants to solve this problem, but North Carolina's epidemic won't change without commitment to implementing evidence-based programs and policies. That means bipartisan agreement, and it also means financial investment. For example, violence prevention programs can reduce homicide. There are a number of evidence-based models, but two of the most common and very well researched include violence interruption programs, where peers from the community work to prevent gun violence on the ground, while others are connecting those people who have experienced violence with social services that will help them with the trauma and improve their lives so that they don't continue the cycle of violence. Hospital-based violence intervention programs involve a multidisciplinary team that includes hospital staff and community leaders. Together, they work with hospital patients who have experienced violence to break the cycle of gun violence. And like violence interruption programs, they also connect people with social services. Waiting periods are one policy solution. We know that homicides and suicides at times are carried out impulsively. So waiting periods provide a de-escalation opportunity and, depending on the number of days, may give law enforcement more time to complete checks than the 3 days that they get with the federal background checks. So we don't have a waiting period law in North Carolina beyond those 3 days provided by the federal government. So while it may take up to 14 days at the most to be issued a handgun purchase permit, the permit may be completed much sooner, and that's only for handguns.
Yeah, it seems like a kind of a no-brainer that we might, and such a minimal hurdle to put in the way of obtaining a firearm, that we would just require people to wait a few days just to make sure that, you know, they're not rushing off to purchase a gun in the heat of the moment.
That's right. That's right. And another policy solution would be the Extreme Risk Protection Order law. And these have been really popular in other states and have really shown that they're capable of reducing gun violence and gun death. So ERPO, as we call it, Extreme Risk Protection Order, ERPO laws allow family members or law enforcement to petition a judge for an order to temporarily remove firearms from someone who has made a credible threat to harm himself or herself or others. And one example is that research has shown that for every 10 to 20 ERPO orders made, one suicide has been prevented. So an ERPO law here can make a huge difference in suicide prevention and save a lot of lives.
We know that Representative Marsha Moray, among others, sponsored legislation along these lines in the past in the General Assembly, and one would certainly hope that that would be taken seriously in the 2021 session.
That's our hope as well. We're grateful for the support of that ERPO legislation, and we would love to see ERPO pass here like it has in some other states. And states, you know, run by a variety of legislatures. Indiana has an ERPO law that's been very successful there. So we think that we can do it here in North Carolina. Before we close, I'd like to talk about another underlying cause and really addressing underlying causes of firearm violence, in addition to addressing access to the weapon itself, which is very important. But Medicaid expansion is something that we feel like we should be advocating for, both to address the root cause of poverty, but also in order to include treatment for health and mental health in North Carolina. You know, and additionally, continuing the telemedicine practices that we've had access to after the COVID-19 pandemic ends would help ensure that people with barriers to getting health and healthcare appointments, like distance to a doctor's office or clinic or life transportation, would be able to continue to receive the care that they need. you know, we also think that with so many people, especially right now with the pandemic, experiencing or facing unemployment and its consequences, that we really need to increase funding for basic necessities like food and housing. And there's been research on raising the minimum wage, not only helping to alleviate poverty, but also decreasing suicide risk. Those are things that we really think should be looked into. And North Carolinians Against Gun Violence believes that there are solutions to gun violence are in our state if city, county, and state leaders take this epidemic seriously.
It's a long list, but it's obvious that whatever we can do to lower the level of hopelessness and despondency and attack this problem in an intentional way can make a real difference. We can easily save lives in our state. We're so glad and thankful for North Carolinians Against Gun Violence. People want to learn more about your organization, ncgv.org, am I right?
Yes, that's correct. And thank you so much for having us on today and for raising attention on this important issue.
Sarah Smith is with North Carolinians Against Gun Violence. Again, you can check out their website and lend your hand to their efforts at ncgv.org. Hopefully we'll talk again, Sarah, about some successes that this report has helped spur.
We look forward to it. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. Please wear your mask, stay safe as best you can, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.